Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. My guest is Niall Gibbons, who is CEO of Tourism Ireland worldwide, and indeed we have something in common. This is just a disclaimer that we're both fond of the home county of Mayo. Niall, you're very welcome back to us.
Thank you very much, Adrian. Great to be back in New York, and great to see you again, and well done for remembering the home county.
Yes. The big news, of course, in Ireland to many might be the upcoming election. However, there is bigger news, and I want you to break it yourself.
Well, thank you very much. It's great to be here. We've seen over the years on this show how tourism has gone from strength to strength. Indeed, it's been one of the great recovery stories in Ireland. More jobs have been generated by tourism than any other industry. But just on my way over today, I heard that the Central Statistics Office issued the final results for 2015. And it is officially the best year ever for tourism to Ireland, 8.6 million trips. That is 1 million more than last year. For the North American market, which comprises the United States and Canada, it's the first time that we have hit 1.5 million visitors. It's a phenomenal performance, an increase of 14% over last year, which was indeed about 15% over the year before. So you and me remember talking a couple of years here in the Year of the Gathering, thought it was fantastic to see 1.1 million visits from the United States and Canada. Well,
when the goal was, or the expectation was, that a million would be indeed very respectable.
Indeed, and now, you know, to hit 1.5 million is just incredible. To have just double-digit growth, it's fantastic. And thanks to everybody over here for being part of that. It's a fantastic, good news story. It's hitting every part of Ireland. It's part of the great success of the economic renewal of Ireland. And those 8 million, in excess of 8 million visitors to Ireland last year, spent approximately 4.2 billion euros. So in excess of nearly $5 billion. It's a significant economic driver now, employing 200,000 people across the country in every single county and every town.
Where does Ireland land, say, in the European market with respect to, percentages and how many of the European market? Is there a figure on our percentage?
Well, if you take the number of people traveling from the United States to mainland Europe, I mean, there are many popular destinations there. I mean, many of them go to the UK.
Sure.
You've got Italy, you've got Germany, France, major destinations from a tourism perspective. But actually, Ireland now commands its highest ever percentage. It's in excess of 10% market share. So one out of every 10 visitors from the United States going to mainland Europe travels to Ireland. And, you know, you think of places like France, it's the biggest inbound destination in the world. They'd have between 70 and 80 million visitors a year. Italy, another colossal country. The UK have over 3 million. Germany as well, very big. But we have 10%, which is phenomenal for a small country on the edge of Europe.
Absolutely, yeah. To what do you attribute? We know, of course, the satisfaction rate is extremely high with Ireland. But is there something that even in the last, since the gathering, has contributed to all kinds of records being broken?
There's a number of factors that are there. You've seen over the years, every time you've been on the show, the very good promotional work that Alison Metcalf and the team here that Tourism Ireland have done promoting Ireland here in the United States. And we've invested through the economic cycle, which is really important. We've kept jumping to Ireland out there front and mind of the consumer. We have a great product and a great platform to sell it on. I think the other big thing that's driven the growth as well is air connectivity. And we've seen a phenomenal increase in the number of flights into North America. It's from, rather big apart from the United States into Ireland. 40,000 seats a week in the summer months, which is very, very big. We've got new destinations coming on stream. This year we'll have new routes from Los Angeles into Dublin with Aer Lingus, also Hartford, Connecticut, first time ever into Dublin as well, and also a new route going in from Newark with Aer Lingus as well. We had Ethiopian open a route to Los Angeles. Aer Lingus opened San Francisco a couple of years ago. And all those routes are doing particularly well. And other airlines like American, like Delta, have all expanded their frequency and capacity too. So that's very good. And with the lower oil prices, it does make those routes more sustainable and more profitable. For people who are going to Eurozone countries, value for money is important, and with the way the dollar and the euro have been in the last year or two, they're getting exceptional value for money. I mean, probably 30% better value than they were getting about 3 years ago. So your dollar is going to go much further. So never a better time to come, never been easier to get there, and never better value when you're on the ground.
It's no coincidence, indeed, that on this very week we have a minister representative, you know, from Tourism Ireland, Northern Ireland, in New York here as well.
Well, it's fantastic to see, and the figures we'll be just discussing here are the Republic of Ireland Central Statistics Office figures. Remember, we haven't added on the number of visitors that go to Northern Ireland as well, and that'll be well in excess of 150,000 from the United States as well, which is very good news. A record performance again for Northern Ireland, and we're delighted that he's out here with a very full and busy program with Tourism Ireland and Invest Northern Ireland, seeking to generate more tourism and more inward investment. Jonathan Bell is his name. He's from the area, Strangford area. I know he'll be on your show, and we've already been doing work with them abroad, and we're very pleased that he's come over here. We've got direct access in from New York into Belfast. Belfast are very new and exciting destinations for merry Americans. The Titanic visitor attraction, which opened a number of years ago, has seen phenomenal success. In excess of 2 million visitors since it opened, which has surpassed all expectations. We've seen the golfers do really well, Rory McIlroy in particular, Graham McDowell and Darren Clark. We've got the Open, not just the Irish Open. The Irish Open has been to Northern Ireland twice in the last 3 years, but the Open, what was the British Open, is going to come to Royal Portrush in 2019, so that's a big coup as well. So a really good platform in which to sell this part of the island, and it's growing in popularity, and we're proud to be part of it.
Can you tell us about Tourism Ireland's the global greening, which when we spoke, you know, a few years back, I thought, boy, that's going to be that'll be something to pull off, and it has actually it works.
It's a great PR story, which started with an idea in our office in Australia at the anniversary of 200th anniversary of the arrival of the Irish in Australia, and somebody thought, well, let's try and light the Sydney Opera House green, and it was a very simple idea that really struck a chord with a lot of people. So we expanded it to the point where last year in 2015 we had 180 global icons around the world lit up green, everything from the London Eye to the pyramids in Egypt to the Statue of Christ the Redeemer in Brazil, where the Empire State Building here goes green, but many buildings around the world lit up green, and the PR value itself is phenomenal, because for example on NBC Nightly News last year there was a 30 second segment which we couldn't afford to pay for something like that for an advert, and on the front page of every website of all the UK newspapers we had the story of St. Patrick being told, which again would have been very difficult and inconceivable 20 years ago. I think in newer markets like China, where we're only starting to make a breakthrough really from a tourism perspective,
right,
we actually convinced the Chinese authorities to light the Great Wall of China green as well for the second year in a row. So it became the Green Wall of China. So that was a significant step.
Incredible. Now, there was a time when you were going to visit like the dozen or so, greening countries that had contracted and to do this. I assume you've given up on trying to visit the 180 anyway.
Maybe in retirement I might think of something like that, but I think for now, I think as we start to expand it, we're just over a month away from March. Over a month away from March, and we need to get our thinking caps on. So we are in dialogue with the whole range of attractions again, to see what we can do, and maybe when I see you again in the not too distant future, I'll be able to announce something else that's fairly big for St. Patrick's Day again. But it is a testament to all the work that's been done by Irish communities around the world. For example, the Statue of Christ the Redeemer in Brazil is under the control of the Archbishop in Rio de Janeiro, and that would not have been turned green only for the work of Irish missionaries in Brazil and what they did for the poor over 100 years ago. And also in South Africa, Table Mountain, which is a UNESCO World Heritage Site, would not have turned green only for the charitable work of the St. Patrick's Trust down there. So it does show you that the reach that the Irish have had far and wide over the years and the great work that our diaspora have done.
Is there a sense that all the independent surveys that have been done throughout the world. When you have some, you know, facts that Ireland is the best place to do business, Dublin in particular seems to pop up almost automatically. Great place to live. Great. How does that translate into the island of Ireland in terms of tourism?
Well, you're right. Dublin in the last couple of years has got a few really good accolades. Prestigious publications like Condé Nast, based over here, Lonely Planet as well, who are establishing an operation in Dublin, have nominated Dublin as sometimes the friendliest city and the best place to visit for 2016. We've also seen other places around Ireland like Cork and Belfast get accolades too. But if there's one thing that has really won major plaudits around the world, it's the Wild Atlantic Way, which has done an amazing thing for tourism. Everybody's talking about it. It's a 2,500-kilometre, 1,500-mile drive from Kerry, from Donegal all the way around to Kinsale and Cork, and it's captured the imagination globally. And that's been winning awards too, and deservedly so.
It's a new day, you know, when we can imagine that for so many decades, those of us west of the Shannon anyway, were always envying the attention paid to, you know, the East Coast and the South and whatever. And now, with the success of the Wild Atlantic Way, you have to, you know, figure a way to get people who go into the Wild Atlantic Way to spread over a little bit. Shoes on the other foot to a degree, isn't it?
Well, I think it's been hugely successful, certainly on the southern portion of it. I mean, there's good evidence that from Galway, you know, down into Clare, around Kerry and into Cork, there's been phenomenal increases in numbers. You know, people have really seen it. We certainly have more work to do on the northern section of the Wild Atlantic Way. I mean, the accommodation and visitor attractions wouldn't be as plentiful as they may be down in Cork and Kerry. So I think a priority in the years ahead will be looking at, you know, from Mayo up to Donegal, where you've got some beautiful rugged countryside, fantastic beaches, you know, fantastic landscape and friendliest people you can imagine, just to see how we can deliver more business to that part of the Wild Atlantic Way. So that'll be a particular focus to us. But one of the new things that we're looking at this year and into the coming years will be a product called Ireland's Ancient East, which is really about trying to take all the product that is there that already exists on the east coast of Ireland and to try and package that up into something that's appealing and compelling for the consumer. And there's a number of strands that run through that. You've got everything from Newgrange, you know, which brings you back to buildings that are older than the pyramids of Egypt, to our Anglo-Irish history, the Anglo-Norman history, the medieval history, you know, down to the Viking Triangle in Waterford, to Kilkenny, the medieval, the castles and the stories that go back 800 years. So I think there's an awful lot of really good work has been done on the product development of Ireland's Ancient East that will appeal to visitors to offer something different to the Wild Atlantic Way as well.
Great news, great tidings, and you know, I would like to imagine that the Central Statistics Office waited until actually you landed in New York to arrive on Irish radio before they released the phenomenal news again, 1.5 million, and you know, from North America, right?
It's phenomenal, and I literally just got the news just as I was turning off my phone getting on the plane, so it made for a very pleasant journey over here, and it was great to see you,
sure.
And great to be able to be in front of a microphone, because I think we spent many days, years ago, looking at numbers going down, but really, we have now seen 5 years of consecutive growth in tourism into Ireland. We've seen numbers grow by a phenomenal number from all markets, by the way. They've been very significant, but the North American market has been particularly strong. And what's most important about the North American market is that people stay longer and spend more. So from an economic perspective, it's a big contributor to our national income.
I know that you have mentioned it, and we've had Alison Metcalf as a guest on this program even recently. But the target marketing, the fabulous work of Tourism Ireland, there is no way that that could fall, just happen to, you know, fall into place without the strategy that's working.
Yeah, and first, Alison and the team here have done a great job. They've produced a strategy that was looking to grow business by 20% over a 3-year period. They've actually delivered over 30% over a two-year period. So we're well ahead of the game. But we don't want to get complacent. I mean, we have a team here that we discuss performance with the industry partners, the air access carriers, the tour operators. We're conscious that there are issues in Ireland. We need more hotel rooms now because of this demand. And they're the things that we need to feed back to the system. So that's all good. That produces jobs in construction. We're seeing an expansion of hotel rooms in Ireland. We need to see more. We see there's more demand here in the United States that we can satisfy. What we're seeing in terms of the profile of the visitor that's coming, the younger emerging customer coming from the States, we're also seeing growth in areas like California because we've got access now from San Francisco and also Los Angeles. And we're seeing more people coming from the southern states that don't have ancestral connections. So that's a very interesting development. And a lot of that is aided as well by the connectivity and the very close relationship we have with partners like American Airlines, like Delta, and like United. And they forge great connections into those states as well.
But they also would not be even slightly interested unless it was good for their bottom line.
Correct. I mean, there's no question about it. It's a very competitive business, and with the phenomenal expansion we've seen in airlines into Ireland is very, very good. I compare our performance sometimes with our neighbours in the UK. Of course, we're very friendly competitors these days, but they've seen their business from the United States fall from 4 million to 2.9 million. So they lost 1.1 million customers over a 7 or 8 year period. We've seen ours increase from 800,000 to 1.5 million, so it's a terrific performance.
And would you believe that that's even before the first Aer Lingus flight from Boston to Ireland West Airport knock takes place? I mean, there are miracles out there somewhere, but anyway, we won't get into anything of the religious nature. And now you're very welcome, as always, and congratulations.
Thank you very much, and listen, it's great to be here, and thanks for all your support, and thanks to everybody in the United States for all the support over the years. It's great to see this. The number of jobs that are being created on the back of tourism, it's in excess of 30,000 over the last 5 years, more than any other industry in Ireland.
Fans, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.